both here and there.
And this is KFCF 88.1 FM. My name is Mike Rhodes, and this is the Street Heat Show. Today we're going to be playing the first hour of the Homelessness Marathon, which was in Fresno on Tuesday of this week. For technical reasons, Fresno was not able to hear the first hour of the Homelessness Marathon, and it was a very good hour. It was an interview with several of the plaintiffs who are in the lawsuit against the city because their property, their possessions, had been immediately destroyed by the city, taken and immediately destroyed. The judge in federal court, Judge Wagner, has issued a preliminary injunction to stop further destruction of homeless people's property. And these plaintiffs were talking about their lives and what all that was about. So I have downloaded the recording of that, and it is ready to play. So we're going to just run right through it. It's a whole hour. It's the Homelessness Marathon. It was broadcast to over 100 radio stations all over the country, and this is the first hour. Here we go.
The Mexican-American Baptist Church, where the Mexican-American Baptist Church, which was where Pastor Noe Lopez, one of the last things that he said to us was that we should go ahead in this with this broadcast. He's an anti-poverty pastor all of his life. And he green-lighted, as they would say in Hollywood, this project is one of the last things he did before he died. And so I thought that we might have a separate candle for Noe Lopez, but he dedicated his life to the poor. So we are going to make this one candle, I'm sure, for both the poor and for him, and I'm sure that's the way he would have wanted it.
And this is the host, Jeremy Alderson, introducing the show.
What's been going on is something that's been going on all across the country, where they sweep homeless people out of the business area or out of whatever area they sweep them on out of, and then they throw away their belongings. And they have done things like throw away somebody's wheelchair, they threw away somebody's false teeth, they threw away somebody's, the ashes of somebody's grandchild that they had kept among their meager possessions. They've threw away people's tents. They even threw away a tent that was reputed to have puppies in it, and the puppies were never seen again. The homeless people rose up in anger about this and got lawyers. The ACLU came in and other lawyers came in and sued the city. And an injunction was granted in federal court against throwing away the possessions of the homeless people. And the mayor complained and said it was a bad court decision. The federal judge said the city's arguments were dishonest and disingenuous. And I have with me here in the booth today at the beginning of this broadcast four of the homeless plaintiffs who sued the city of Fresno. And everyone should remember that throwing away the belongings of homeless people, their IDs, their money, their last few possessions, this is something that goes on all across the country. Let me begin with Al. Al, welcome to the Homelessness Marathon.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Al, tell us your story. What happened to you when the police came and swept?
They've swept me four times. First time they took all of our belongings, clothes, bedrolls, sleeping bags, food, hygiene, everything. Second time they took my wife's wheelchair, destroyed her medication. She is disabled. She has a prolapsed rectum and uterus. She's also has seizures. They threw away a Dilatin, smashed it on the ground.
Well, would you say, and again, I know this sounds like a silly question, but the city of Fresno has said they were doing that for your own good. Do you think your life improved after they threw all of your belongings away?
Well, they probably thought I would disappear, but it improved. No, not even. I'm not going to disappear. You know, I'm a human being just like them, two eyes and nose. and a mouth just like them.
Did the city of Fresno say to you, we'll give you a house, we're throwing away this stuff here you've used on the streets, but we're going to give you a house instead?
No, they haven't.
They haven't helped you at all?
None.
So is
none
your
whatsoever.
Life, is your life a lot harder now?
Very much. They threw away wedding pictures. That can't be replaced. Family history that my wife's mother put together, that can't be replaced ever. You know, that's history.
So you would want the people of America who are listening today to know that even though you're a homeless person, you love your wife, you had pictures, you have feelings like anybody else, and those things meant something to you?
Of course they do. Of course.
Well, it sounds obvious, but we live in a country today where, needless to say, homeless people are too easily dismissed. Sitting also with me here in the booth is Pam. Pam, welcome to the Homelessness Marathon.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm very glad to have you here. Would you like to tell us what happened to you in the sweeps?
I've had so many times that they've done sweeps to me that I can't even remember them all. But the most memorable one that they took everything was the pictures. The only pictures I had left of my mother that's been dead since I was 17. I'm now 51. Pictures of my sister. My grandfather, I'm the preacher's daughter, and both my grandfathers were ministers. The Bible that my grandfather preached with. Phone book I had for 10 years. But the most thing that they tried to take was my dignity. But finally, they tried to do that, but I just stood up and dusted my shoulders off, and I'm getting that back.
Let me ask you the same thing I asked Al. Did they offer to make your life better? Did they do anything
for you?
They
never offered me anything except move so we can throw the rest of your stuff in the trash. If you don't, what you can't carry, you got to leave, and it goes in the dump.
Joanna is sitting to the right of Pam, also in the booth with me. Joanna, welcome to the Homelessness Marathon.
Thank you.
Joanna, tell us what you lost in the sweeps.
I've lost bicycles, my license, clothing, blankets, medication that I need for my high blood pressure, and for my asthma, and so many other things that I can't even remember everything.
Mm-hmm. And when you say you lost your license, you mean your driver's license?
Yes.
Now, that's your ID, isn't it?
Yes.
Does it make it hard for you not having an ID?
Yes.
How so?
You can't get your mail from the Pavarillo unless you have an ID.
The Pavarillo House is a day shelter here where they do give mail to people, mm-hmm. and that's one of the services they perform is they help people in that way.
Exactly.
But without mail, you can't get your mail without that.
Right.
They took mine, too.
Uh-huh. So this is a common thing that they do. And what about do you get any benefits, any kind of Social Security? Okay.
None.
But you can't access the things you need. And how would you get your license back? They took your license. What would be involved in it for a homeless person, Joanna, to get her license back?
Well, first you have to get the money.
Uh-huh. How much does it cost to get a license?
What, $21 now?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of money to you?
Yes.
So they basically threw out something of yours that you can't replace.
Exactly.
And they've taken away your ability to get mail.
Exactly.
And this is what the city thought was a good idea. The mayor's going to be here later and talk about why he thought this was a good idea,
mm-hmm.
I guess. Okay. All right. And sitting to your right is Cynthia. Cynthia, welcome to the Homelessness Marathon.
Hello.
Cynthia, we're glad to have you here. What happened to you in the sweeps?
First, I want to say, because this is what homeless live by. All honor and glory due to God, because we prayed very hard to send somebody to help us out, because our lives were already in trouble when we became homeless, and then they were continually destroyed by the system,
mm-hmm.
by taking away everything periodically on schedule, our belongings, until we were left with nothing.
What did you lose, Cynthia?
I lost everything.
Well, tell us. Tell the people listening out there, you're a homeless woman, which means you already got some troubles. Everybody's got to understand that.
Exactly.
That's not an easy life. So, okay, and the city comes along, and what do they do to you?
First, they take your blankets, your sleeping bags, your tent, your medication, your IDs, your addresses from your family if you wanted to get in contact with them. They take everything until you have absolutely nothing.
Fair enough. And has your life, do you feel that your life is harder since the city intervened in your life?
Yes, they made it hard.
Okay. Now, Cynthia, I know that one of the things that the city will say is that one of the things the mayor has said is that he was trying to motivate you to get help, and you could have gone maybe to the Fresno Rescue Mission. Why didn't you
Fresno
go?
Fresno excuse me.
Why didn't you go to the Fresno Rescue Mission?
That's for men.
Okay, so then is there someplace you could have gone?
At the time when I got out here, no. We were staying at the, when across the street from the Fresno Rescue Mission, they had a single housing for women that housed, what, 16 beds?
Seven.
Seven when they started out?
Seven.
And first come, first serve.
For women, only seven.
And you have, what, 200 women? I mean.
Or more.
Mm-hmm. So your position is really then that you really had no good option of where to go. That if they were saying, we're going to make it harder on you.
You had no option. Not good option. You had no option, especially for the women.
Okay, fair enough. I wanted to make sure I understood that. Joanna, maybe the people out there, and you know, people have a lot of questions. This is why we do this broadcast, is let them meet homeless people who they've never had a chance to talk with. Joanna, can you share with our listeners how you became homeless?
Okay. I was working as a supervisor for a home for developmentally disabled boys. My husband pulled a crime in my vehicle, and when I got to work that afternoon, because I worked the split shift, I was arrested at work. And so that caused me to lose my job, and I cannot work in that field ever, according to community care licensing.
Were you convicted of any crime?
No, all charges were dropped.
Well, how come that keeps you from getting a job?
Because they said that I was accused of a felony.
I see. But you were never even brought to trial for any crime.
I did end up going to court, yes, but they dropped all charges on me because I wasn't there.
So there was no actual, though, they never prosecuted you for it? They had a hearing and then they dropped it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that alone cost you your livelihood.
Exactly.
Your husband wasn't there, obviously, to be a helpmate. They probably impounded the car, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were left with what kind of a situation?
With nothing.
And what did you do?
Well, of course, I can continue looking for a job. But after, I just no. Everything was no. And then once you lose your home and you don't have a phone number and you don't have an address, a lot of people will not hire you because they won't even look at your application.
And your ID, and you have to have
they
ID.
Just toss it.
They just toss the application?
Yes.
But for the people in America listening into this, how old are you?
I am 46.
Well, you look younger and you look lovely, and I you know, if this is for the public's right to know.
Thank you. You know, we
have to know these things. But the point is, you're somebody ready, willing, and able to work.
Yes.
And you have looked for a job.
Yes. Every day.
And is it hard to find a job when you have to tell people, by the way, I'm homeless?
Yes, yes. A lot of times they won't let you in the door.
Really?
Mm.
And if you wanted to leave a resume with a phone number to call you back, do you have a phone number to call you back?
We have one at the Holy Cross.
Okay.
But just during the day. And once 4 o'clock comes, that's it. It's over.
But so at least thank God that you have support.
Yes.
Pam.
Yes.
How did you become homeless?
I had a workman's comp injury. I got hurt at work, and they left me work hurt 2 years, guinea-pigging me before I finally had to. They retrained me, and now it's permanent.
You have a disability, do you?
Yes.
What kind of a disability?
I have a deterioration of spine from my neck down to my tailbone, carpal tunnel. Fibromyalgia, tendonitis in my shoulders.
Okay.
I have asthma.
Oh, okay.
And
more.
I just found out I have a heart murmur. I just got out of the hospital.
Oh, well.
Icing on the cake.
You know, you got a lot of problems, and
yeah.
I can't really say you got a long list of things. I can't say I envy you for your long
right.
list. It's not like Santa's list
no.
or something like that. What kind of work did you used to do, Pam?
I scrubbed and waxed floors and cleaned carpet in a housekeeping position at a hospital.
Okay, and so we can definitely say you're not somebody who was so proud you would turn your nose up at modest kinds of labor and stuff.
Of course not. I mean, I've had all types of jobs, but for the permit, the position, the guinea pig me for 2 years. So then after that, it was hard to hold on to a job. Then I had to work 2 jobs. And then I couldn't keep them because I'd get sick either from the asthma or the pain from my back and lose the jobs. And so I ended up out here. I lost everything. I had a house, a home. I had a home, the cars. I mean, everything. I had money. I made $15 an hour, and this was 10 years ago. And I lost my daughter because I'm homeless. They took my daughter because I'm homeless.
Oh, boy. I'm going to ask you about that, but I want to tell the folks out there listening to this that this is a call-in show. Mm-hmm. And there are two numbers to call in. 877-NOBODY-8 is the number anyone can call in on if you have a house, if you're homeless. 877, the word nobody and the number 8. Or if you're homeless, formerly homeless, or afraid you're about to be homeless, you can also call in at 866-LEFT-OUT. That's 866-LEFT-OUT. Pam, you say they took your daughter away, and this is a story I've heard too many times. Tell the people how this happened.
Because I was homeless. I had no roof over my daughter's head. They took her and put her in foster care.
So that we're going to do an hour on foster care later, but this was essentially neglect, basically. You weren't providing for your daughter.
They said was neglect, but my daughter was not neglected.
No, I'm talking about their...
Yes.
I adopted my kids out of the foster system, so I know the foster system.
Once they got them, you can't get them back. Once they got them, it's hard to get
them back. It's very hard to get them back, especially if you're still homeless.
Yes.
And neglect is equated in America with the same thing as poverty.
Yes.
You could be a rich person. You never speak to your kid for months. That's not neglect. If you're a poor person,
right,
you don't have a lot of money, no matter if you say to the kid, we're in this together, I'm standing by you, we love each other, we'll get through it, that's neglect.
Mm-hmm.
So that's unfortunately the way it is. Do you get any kind of disability?
No, I do not.
Have you ever applied for it?
Yes, numerous times.
And what's happened?
I've been turned down because I could pick up a telephone.
So you didn't quite qualify by their
standards?
No,
I mean, they say as long as you can pick up a telephone, you can work.
I see. Have you tried to get a job picking up a telephone?
I have picked up telephones, yes. I did telemarketing a lot of times, actually.
And what keeps you from getting a job like that now?
Well, for right now, I can't get a job because I have no ID. It's at the city dump rotting.
And they stole your ID. I'm sorry.
Yes, they did. They stole my ID.
Cleaned it up. Excuse me.
They cleaned it and stole it at the same time.
They cleaned it up and stole it. And
right.
Where is your daughter today?
In Coalinga.
And do you ever get a chance to see her?
I haven't for a while. No, I have not.
And it's hard for you to get there, I see.
Yes.
Well, I'm very sorry that happened to you,
Thank you.
Al, let me ask you. Again, America wants to know how you became homeless in the first place, because they assume that everybody who became homeless, I don't know your story, but did you drink yourself out onto the streets? I wouldn't hold it against you if you did, but is that what happened?
No, not at all. I'm affiliated with Food Not Bombs.
Okay.
And everybody knows me. They call me Pops, OG, which is a respectful thing, you know, and a lot of, I used to manage the Ambassador Inn and Suites, mm-hmm, work there and everything, and a number of people would come there day after day after day, just like today, you know. I had two situations today where people just came crying. One man, a grown man with tears in his eyes, know me, walks up crying and everything, and I take time, you know, and I don't even have nothing,
yep,
but I take time. But anyway, at the my last job, a lot of people come in there are on drugs, some of them are alcoholics, and they try to portray that I was because of the association, guilt by association, I'm supposed to be a drug dealer. They took me and my wife, who's in a wheelchair, to jail twice. They let us, had, you know, 3 days later, they let us go.
Have you been convicted of drug dealing?
No, never, ever, 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 ever.
Right.
And, to get rid of me out of my job, the police department, Benson, Officer Benson, threatened to put sanctions against my employer, the Ambassador Inn and Suites, if he did not fire me.
Really?
Really.
Because he was convinced that you were a drug dealer even if he had no proof, and he was going to do something extra.
So that's how I lost my job, and that's how I became homeless.
I see. And did you have no resources you could fall back on?
My wife is in a wheelchair. Like I said, she got prolapse, rectum, and uterus. She gets absolutely no benefits at all. I get no benefits. the money we make, you know, is minimal, very little. And even we have a hard time with that because of the police. You know, they see us, you can't do this, you can't do that. Actually, you know, it's like when... If you got a dog down, kick him. And that's what they do.
Uh-huh. And again, we asked this earlier of Joanna, so I think it's fair to ask you, how old are you, Al?
I'm 60.
Okay. So you've been through a little bit in life.
Yeah, I've been in the military, I've been here, and this is the appreciation I get.
And where do you sleep at night? Where do you and your wife sleep at night?
We have a place we call the cave, you know. in front of Tiny's restaurant between Taco Bell and Chevron service station.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we sleep.
And what's that like?
It's not home, but it's, we call it, that's why we call it the cave. But the people in the neighborhood appreciates us so much, you know, the normal people. I ain't talking about the government officials or county officials or city or nothing like that. I'm talking about the people who really know us, you know. Mm-hmm. I've been here since 1963. I've been in the Parkside area since 1983. My wife, the same thing. Mm-hmm. And the people know us, you know. If they hated us, they'd be calling the police on us every night. Obviously, they do not hate us. They do not dislike us. They help us. Matter of fact, the people out there help us more than the city helps us, more than the government helps us, more than any kind of official helps us. Mm-hmm. The people out there, you know, the neighborhood.
Those numbers to call in again here at the Homelessness Marathon are 877-NOBODY-8. That's the word nobody in the number 8. Or 866 left out. If you're homeless, formerly homeless, afraid you're going to be homeless, 866 left out. Now, I want to explain to the listeners that we've done something in our 10th year here that we really have never done before. We've really put ourselves out here where the homeless people we can talk to the most easily, although we've always talked to the homeless people who are under bridges and in all kinds of places. But we've also usually been near a shelter or something where other kinds of homeless people could come and be with us. But we really, and there are many kinds of homeless people, but we really are talking here. We are in the area where there are tent encampments and people who are living in doorways. And so the homeless people we are going to be speaking to a lot tonight, and I think all of the homeless people at this table, although I'm not sure about that, are what would be called chronic homeless.
Mm-hmm. Or chronic homeless.
Hardcore homeless or something like that. Not transient homeless. People who've been on the streets for a good while. And that's a difficult, and we came here partly for that reason, because this is a group of people we wanted to speak to, because this is the most picked on part of the entire homeless population. These, when anybody points to how awful homeless people, these are the people they're talking about. So we're very glad to talk to them. Now, Al, you say you've been on the streets for more than 20 years now. Is that correct?
I've lived out here for more than 20. I've been employed. We became homeless like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. My wife applied for Social Security, denied her.
Oh, I see. So you've not been homeless for that long, actually.
First time I was ever homeless was in 1991.
So it was on and off again for you? Then you got a house again?
Then I went to work at the Ambassador Inn and Suites.
Okay, now I got it.
And then the police took care of that for me.
Mm-hmm. Now I've talked to a lot of homeless people, of course, and let me ask you a question. Because I've heard very different stories. Where you are, do you feel the other homeless people around you are more likely to be supportive, helpful to you, or do you think you have to watch out for them because they might rip you off? Which is it more?
To be honest, I think 80% of the homeless people out there are very sincere. You always have a 20%, mm-hmm. you know, that will go to the rescue mission or something like that because.
Yeah.
But 80% of people want a job, but most of the men out there, they owe child support. They can't get a driving license. They go get a job. They take the check. I mean, you know, they kick money down. The system is very destructive towards homeless people, extremely. And, until they change that, it's going to get worse and worse and worse.
Would you say you were in a house most of your life in
your
neighborhood?
Yes.
Would you say the percentage of your neighbors when you were in a house who were good people and the percentage you had to watch out for, was there a higher percentage of good people in the house or a higher percentage of good people on the streets?
Street people, like I said, 80% of the street people are extremely good.
What percentage of the ones in the houses would you say are good?
Same. I was dropping down to probably 50% in the area, but that's because, as far as me, because they know me.
Okay.
And they would take care of me a little bit. But if I need help, I can rely on the homeless people or street people to take care of me more so than I can the government or anything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a vote here, okay? Al has weighed in on this. This is a little poll that the Gallup poll does not ask. You won't hear this on the Gallup poll. So let's take a poll. Are a higher percentage of homeless people good people, or a higher percentage of people in homes? You've all lived in homes, right? I know. So, okay, Pam, which would you say?
To me right now, a higher percent in homeless are good people. 80% good, 20.
You agree
and
with
in
that?
In homes, I would agree the same thing. I mean, separated as far as helping the homeless is a whole different subject as far as the one in homes. But the ones on the streets, 80-20.
Okay, Joanna?
I agree with Pam.
Okay, into the mic if you would, speak.
Oh, I agree with Pam.
Okay, and Cynthia, what do you say to that?
I agree the same thing because it's two different worlds.
Uh-huh.
But
exactly.
you all agree that there's at least as many good people among the homeless
as there were.
Exactly. No question about it. All right. We have a speaker at the mic, a gentleman at the mic, and I'd like to welcome you, sir, to the Homelessness Marathon. What's your name?
My name is David Devine.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
David Devine.
Ethan Devine, is it?
David Devine.
There we go. Okay, they caught up with us in engineering. David, welcome to the Homelessness Marathon. David,
and I agree.
Oh, are you a homeless person, David?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Where do you live, David?
G Street. I mean, these are my folks right here. This is my family right here.
You live in the hood, right?
Yeah, I live in the hood, if you will.
Yeah.
And but the question that you ask, Kerry, absolutely. I have to rely on this man. I have to rely on this lady. Uh-huh. I have to, you know, trust her. And give her some kind of feedback to know that she'll take care of what's mine while I'm going out collecting cans, if you will, which I don't do. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, we have to rely on each other. So therefore, we're asking a question that's obvious. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we think homeless people are good.
Of course.
Well, you know, if I did not think that, I would be hurting myself to go back out there and expect them to be good, wouldn't I?
Well, of course, but I'm willing to bet you, although there's no point in betting because we can't prove it.
I have a $5.7 million house.
I'm
a contractor, yes.
Okay.
And I've been divorced. My daughter was raped when she was five. I left and my house got tore up. I've been here for a year.
Okay.
I've been homeless behind some situations at a place I was staying. And I've gotten very connected with these people, and I've never been in this situation, and I love them dearly. And
okay.
I feel really bad on what has happened within this year that I've been here.
Like I said, I'm willing to bet that most people listening to this have never heard anyone say that most of the homeless people I deal with are good people, and I rely on them.
They're very good people. I mean, we're all stuck in a rut. I am, by virtue, an alcoholic addict.
Okay.
I can't deny it. I have skeletons in my closet that has caused me to get to the dilemma that I'm in.
All right.
I be true to thyself, so be false to no man. But by virtue of whatever skeletons I have in my closet does not make it so that I don't want better.
Mm-hmm. Well, are you going to... Now, again, I'm just asking the obvious questions. We're not going to talk...
Which I thought you were.
Right. Well, yeah, because it's obvious. But we're not going to do rocket science. I mean, people want to know things. David, are you going to try to get sober? Is that something
you're... No, on the contrary. I am sober. I have clean. I've been clean and sober for some time now.
Okay.
And I want better. I'm here to have better.
Okay, then why aren't you, if you're sober, and you're obviously a well-spoken person, you've worked as a contractor, you have skills, why are you still homeless?
Well, I've been expecting my first check. My prevailing wage is $1,700 a week. I should get that by any time this week.
Where are you working now?
I was working for Anderson. I've worked for Kid Construction out of Hanford. Now that expired, put me here. And I just worked last week for a gentleman by the name of Anderson. When I get my check, I'm gone.
So you're expecting to be out of homelessness soon?
Oh, well, yeah, I always knew that. Don't you feel that you'll be out of homeless?
Well, to be honest,
and you're not homeless.
I'm not homeless at the moment.
That was like a torque. Don't you expect to be out of homeless one day? Hello?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And during the period when I was in some distress, I think I always thought it would come to an end myself.
Okay, right. We all hope for that one day. To answer your question.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much, David, for coming to the mic and speaking to
us. You're welcome.
And wish you the very best of luck. The numbers to call in here on the Homelessness Marathon are 877-NOBODY-8. Anybody can call that. Or if you're homeless, formerly homeless, or afraid you're about to be homeless, you can also call 866-LEFT-OUT. On the phone, we have Helen from Ithaca. Helen, welcome to the Homelessness Marathon. I'm not hearing Helen here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we got a couple of bugs. Well, live radio phone.